This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome back. You listen to the Mark Cox Morning Show a few minutes after 8 on the Valentine's Day. Ethan has been picking the music. Most of it's been pretty appropriate to Valentine's Day. I'll have to say that. We didn't get any of the heavy metal I was expecting after he won Real or Fake, Carl.
He said he went another way and wanted to hear some 60s soul.
I really appreciate that, Ethan, if you're listening, because I cannot stand heavy death metal. That's my least favorite type of music.
But they were going to be heavy metal
love songs. Whatever. You guys say that Gladiator's a love. Everything is a love story for you guys, or a love song, even if they're screaming into the microphone. But
it's a story of a love between a mother and a son.
I mean, whatever. I so appreciate the songs he's picked. I actually really like some of them. Like, You Can't Hurry Love. Love that song.
Yeah, it's true. It's good. Anyway, hope you're having a great Valentine's Day. We've been poking a little fun at it this morning. The whole Hallmark thing. We've been talking about how expensive it can be. I mean, it is happening on a Friday night this year, which makes things a little easier, right? It's a weekend. People can go out for dinner. They made their reservations. You're going to Bristol's, right?
Yes.
Love that
restaurant. With my two sisters and my dad, and I love Bristol. I'm getting that lobster bisque tonight.
The lobster bisque is the bomb at Bristol's. I went to Capital. I have to be honest with you. I went to Capital Grill one day for a business meeting and Bristol's the next, back to back. And I got the lobster bisque at both. And I got to say, I like the Bristol's better.
See, I feel like I'm drooling now about this lobster bisque.
It was really good. No offense to Capital Grill. Theirs was good. But I have to think that the other one was better. Kim brought us in some White Castle this morning, frozen White Castle, for Carl and me, and it was delicious.
Because I would not dare go through the drive-thru. I did that for you guys one time. But now I think I have an excuse because I have announced I'm pregnant. I'm having aversions to certain smells.
Yes.
So I did not want to have to go through that drive-thru.
Well, I can imagine how the smell of that in the car might affect somebody in your situation, Kim. I can appreciate that because it'll be with us the rest of the day now that Carl and I have eaten one of these.
You are welcome.
We'll get to taste it over and over and over again. It's awesome. Coming up, we're going to give away some Doobie Brothers tickets. Doobie Brothers tickets coming up in this hour. So stay tuned for that. It's your last chance to win. The tickets actually go on sale this week. So we'll get to that for you coming up here. Jessica Rosenthal, going to check in with her. You know, we talked to Jim Carafano about this. You can go back and pick up the podcast on that last hour with what he thinks is going to happen in the Middle East. Trump saying we're going to fix Gaza, we'll go in and we'll own it, we'll put Trump Towers in there, blah, blah, blah. And I say it's all a chess game, and Jim tends to agree with me. The other point is, what happens with the ceasefire? Because now Bibi Netanyahu, President Trump, have said hell's going to break loose if they don't release the rest of the hostages tomorrow. Odds are that's not going to happen. So we'll get an update from Jessica Rosenthal. And then at the bottom of the hour, Senator David Gregory is going to join me here. He's been down in Jeff City pushing hard on his bill to make illegal aliens more illegal. right? In other words, create bounty hunter roles, not for average citizens, for people that are already bail bondsmen, things like that. It's a pretty misunderstood bill, I think, but it's been getting some national attention, and we're going to talk to Senator Gregory at about 8:35. But right now, I want to get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
She's putting the men and women of ICE at risk every day. The job's already dangerous. So Governor Hochul, she needs to be removed. Everybody needs to be removed. It needs to be her. She supports sanctuary policies.
Yeah, Tom Holman says Governor Hochul up in New York, maybe somebody ought to terminate her job, that is, because of what she's doing to people. And we will hear more from him coming up.
I have no idea if he had polio. All I can tell you about him is that he shouldn't have been a leader. He knows that. He voted against Bobby. He votes against almost everything now. He's a, you know, very bitter guy.
Yeah. Who do you think he's talking about? Mitch McConnell, Senator McConnell, the only one yesterday to vote. He voted against RFK. That was the one vote that the Republicans missed in that confirmation.
Mr. Secretary, who can bench press more, Hegseth or you?
I would say Pete can probably. I've had shoulder surgeries.
Oh, for God's sake, he's 70 years old. That's RFK. Now, he's in great shape, but I don't know that I'd want to get in bench press contests with him.
Mr. President, you won the White House in part because of high inflation. If your tariffs make prices go up...
Excuse me, we haven't asked you to speak yet, please.
I love that so much. Can I just tell you that? So there... The press, you can tell they're already spoiled a little bit, right? Trump provides so much media access,
right,
that they're in the Oval Office. He's signing another executive order. I don't know which one it was. Order number 400. He's signing it, and they're snapping the pictures and all this stuff, and she starts yelling a question from the gallery.
Caitlin Collins, right, with
Caitlin
CNN.
Collins, yeah. And he stops, he looks at her and goes, I'm sorry, we haven't asked you to speak yet.
I wish I could have seen the camera pan to her reaction.
She was not pleased that the president did that. Now, but he chooses her for questions as well. He'll say, Caitlin, what do you have to say, right? From CNN Fake News, where your ratings are terrible, but I'll take your question anyway. I mean, he messes with them in a way that they're just totally... they don't know what to expect.
Well, he also commands a certain level of respect, and I think that was him in some ways flexing yesterday, saying, look, I'm going to be easily accessible, I'm going to be casual, where I can be signing executive orders and you can more or less shout questions at me. I'm happy to talk to you for an hour plus in some cases, but I am still the president of the United States and you're going to respect me.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that, you know, they're not going to admit it. But the media, the ones in the White House press corps, are loving the hell out of this. It makes their job more interesting every day.
Can they imagine the content, though, that they have to try to sift through every day?
Oh, yeah. But they spent 4 years with no access to Joe Biden.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, Guy Rosenthaler, he's a congressman now. They asked him about the release of that American hostage. And he pointed out something that I don't know. How many people could really argue with what he said here? Listen.
Mark Vogel was just in a gulag with getting very little attention from the administration. President Trump comes in and within 22 days of his administration was able to get the release of Mark Vogel. It just shows you that President Trump, just in this first 3 weeks of office, has done more than Joe Biden has done, not only in his 4 years as president, but probably his entire political career. That's how quickly and effective President Trump is moving.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned, it's a whirlwind. I don't know how they keep up. I mean, they're beat reporters, but the ones assigned to the White House that aren't assigned to just economics or foreign affairs, it's 10 or 12 things a day are being thrown at them.
Well, you can't just have a White House correspondent. You almost need to have beats within that. So you need to have like a Doge beat. You need to have an executive order beat reporter. You need to have just someone who covers the daily press briefings, because that's how much content's being put out on a daily basis.
To Kim's point, I'm now on the media release for the White House. They send me these releases, and I'll bet I get... I bet I get five or six a day. I'm not exaggerating with different statements from President Trump. This was the fact sheet announcing his fair and reciprocal trade plan. And his point is, we're going to increase tariffs because it's reciprocity. if they've got a tariff against our product, we're putting a tariff against theirs. So what he's saying is, it's fair and balanced. Here's what you need to know. We're not trying to get into a tariff war, but this is going to correct longstanding imbalances in international trade and ensure fairness across the board. Gone are the days that America is going to be taken advantage of. This is America first. This is making America great again. Why have we put up with this abuse for so long?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
Isn't it
to
funny?
To curry favor?
How when Biden was president, it was like there, because there was such little access to him, I felt like we would just talk about how he was so absent, or maybe some of the crazy things his administration was trying to push with, you know, LGBTQIA stuff, whatever.
Yes.
And now it's like it's nonstop. You have to pick and choose what to talk about with Trump because there's just so much. You have RFK Jr., who was just confirmed. I mean, all the hostages being released out of Hamas this weekend. There's just so much to talk about.
I know. There's so much to talk about every day. And right now, we are winning. Are you tired of winning yet?
That's no, I'm the not. Question. I don't think I ever will be.
That's the question you have to ask yourself right now. All right, we'll get to a quick break here. Some Doobie Brothers tickets to give away. We've got Jessica Rosenthal coming up. We got State Senator David Gregory. We're back after this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that'd be a great Valentine's Day gift, wouldn't it? Tickets to see the Doobie Brothers coming up, when are they coming? They're coming again in August, right? No, September 4th. I'm sorry. I had it right here in front of me. They're coming to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater September 4th. The tickets go on sale a little bit later this morning. We've been giving away tickets all this week. So 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. A caller number 14 in honor of Valentine's Day gets the tickets today. 314-241-9797. Carl, I'm going to play something here off of my computer.
The only thing I can say is this is going to bring stability and peace to the Middle East. And ultimately, when it's developed, which will be in quite a while from now, because we want to let things calm down, but when it's developed, it's going to bring tremendous numbers of jobs to the Middle East, including the people of your country.
Yeah, needless to say, Donald Trump's been shaking things up with his comments recently about Gaza, including whether or not the ceasefire deal should continue. Now, technically, he said if they're not releasing all the hostages by tomorrow at noon, all hell's going to break loose. We've got Jessica Rosenthal from Fox News Radio with an update on that situation this morning. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having.
Absolutely. So I heard Bibi Netanyahu kind of repeat the president's sentiments on this. Do we think this ceasefire is going to end tomorrow, midday sometime?
I don't think we do. I think what happened is after the week, or midweek, I should say, after President Trump made his comments, saying the Saturday deadline for noon to have everybody back rather than dribs and drabs of people like we've been seeing, Hamas said, okay, the deal's off. We're not going to do anything. While they mentioned Trump's comments, a Hamas spokesperson did mention President Trump's comments in stopping the ceasefire deal. They said mostly it was Israel's fault. They said Israel's not giving us enough aid. The head of the World Food Program said they've been delivering more aid since the beginning of this ceasefire than they did at any point before the ceasefire. But I guess Hamas wasn't talking about food. I guess they were talking more about heavy equipment and fuel for rebuilding purposes, or for at least clearing out the rubble. After President Trump said what he said, it sounds like Egypt and Qatar stepped up a little bit more, committing more with that heavy equipment and fuel. I think the Qataris sent more fuel this week. So then Hamas said, you know what? Okay, fine. The deal's back on. We will adhere to the framework of this ceasefire. And they have since announced today the names of three hostages they are planning to release tomorrow, among them Sigi Dekelhen, an American citizen whose parents you've probably seen all over the Fox News channel over the past 15 months. So it sounds like we are still, even if it seems fragile and we're on thin ice, it seems right now things are sort of status quo and we're moving ahead with phase one of this ceasefire and hostage agreement.
Yeah.
Do we know how many hostages we think are even still alive? Because I certainly don't trust Hamas to tell everyone the truth.
Right. 76 hostages, including these three to be released tomorrow, remain. I think that's the number we're sticking with, is 76. But the IDF has said they believe 34 are deceased.
Wow.
We know six American hostages remained, but only two were said to be alive, including Sagi, who we hope to see tomorrow.
Wow. You know, I hate to keep using the chess analogy, but the minute Donald Trump mentioned taking over Gaza, that's when you heard some of the other Arab countries come forward and say, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should be involved in that. Because before, they weren't having that conversation.
Yep, this president always lobs in and throws in the narrative shift, right? He shakes it up and moves the goalposts. And you never know if it's part of just a negotiation strategy or if he's serious. So, you know, might as well respond. And you're right. We did start to see, and for example, like King Abdullah was with President Trump this past week, and said, a reporter said, "Why are you insisting on Jordan and Egypt taking in Palestinians when the King of Jordan has said explicitly he doesn't want to?" And then the King of Jordan said, well, actually, we'll take in 2006 children. And another reporter tried to ask another question. And the president said, President Trump said, wait a second, let me react to that, because I didn't know that you were willing to take in 2000 Palestinian children who are sick. So and he said, that's very generous of you. And you could see the beginnings of this effort. So what else can we get? What else can we talk about? How else can this shift? And the long term goal, as we know, and phase two is coming, right? Phase two of the ceasefire deal is coming. That's on Secretary of State Marco Rubio's plate. He's in Munich right now for the security conference, but he's going to Israel and Saudi Arabia and the UAE this weekend. And phase two is on his plate. And what does that look like with no more Israel in Gaza? Who's in charge?
Yeah.
You know, there is new Hamas leadership. Are they in charge? Is Hamas going to be in charge of Gaza moving forward? I don't think Israel's really comfortable with that. So is phase two even a reality, and getting the rest of the hostages back? All of that still remains to be worked out. So what role the other Arab countries take is incredibly significant, especially if this administration wants Abraham Accords 2.0, the Saudis have to be involved.
Yeah.
What role do they play?
Very
true. So this
true.
Is all very tentative.
Jessica Rosenthal, great information there. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Jessica Rosenthal with Fox News Radio. All it took was one meme showing what a Trump Tower would look like in the Gaza Strip. In the Middle East, the Middle East offers started flowing in. Let us do it. Let's not do that. We'll be back.
Your favorite restaurants may be closing for a week. This comes as St. Louis's Hispanic population protests President Donald Trump's efforts to mass deport undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, did it work? Certainly been a lot of news lately about people in the communities here who are illegal, worried about ICE showing up for sure. We've got Missouri Senator David Gregory on the line with us right now. And Senator, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, we had you on once before talking about the bill that you had filed. I believe it's Senate Bill 872 that would make illegals illegal in Missouri, correct?
That's right. That's right. Senate Bill 72, it's getting a lot of steam, and it makes it felony trespassing to be here in Missouri, which is what we need. We need a state crime to allow our local and state police to make the arrest.
Yeah. So, I mean, how big of a change is that to state law? Are you getting ground? I mean, has it been assigned to a committee? Are you going to get a hearing on this or not?
Yeah. We've already had a hearing, got a tremendous amount of support, and is actually gaining support across the entire country. I'm having legislators and leaders, even, you know, district attorneys and prosecutors across the country reaching out, asking me about the bill. And we're seeing efforts across the country to duplicate it, because what it is just a state ICE program. That's really all it is. Right now, we just rely entirely on the federal government. And we saw what a problem that was under the Biden administration. And so that's how this was founded. We were going to create our own ICE-like program to make sure that not only do we follow the constitutional provisions of arresting an illegal immigrant, but that we have the authority to do it.
Yeah. You heard that soundbite in the beginning leading into your interview, you know, talking about, you know, these Mexican restaurants that are kind of closing in solidarity because of what's going on. And this comes after ICE went into the, I believe it was the El Magway in O'Fallon, Missouri, not too long ago, but let the employees go after taking him into custody for, I don't even think, a day. What do you make of all of this? Because you hear a lot of fear-mongering that's being thrown around right now.
Yeah, you know, first off, anyone's First Amendment right to protest, I'm going to support. Obviously, I don't support the cause they're protesting, but I think it's a wonderful thing, and I think it's exactly why this country is one of the greatest countries, is the greatest country in the entire world. So I'm okay there, but what's sad is that people are misunderstanding, right? It's not okay for people to come here illegally, to sneak through the mountains of Arizona, come in with who knows what's on them or who they're trafficking or what they're trafficking, and then to say, well, you've been here for a year, you should be able to stay. That's crazy. That type of illegal immigration, it undermines everything we're about. It causes problems for our safety. And I can tell you, I am so thankful for President Trump doing what he's doing.
So I'm a little confused with the bills that you've introduced. You've introduced two different bills on illegals. Is that correct? Because one of them included the bounty hunter aspect.
Yeah. So generally, it's a strategy in the legislature, if you have a complicated issue, to bifurcate it, to separate it so they can both get the attention it needs to really make it perfect. I didn't anticipate this type of national, even international attention. So I ended up rolling them both into one to make sure that the public is very clear on my intentions.
Got it. All right. Well, good. Well, I mean, do you expect a floor vote on it? Do you have any kind of support from Senate leadership at this point?
I expect it to continue down the process, and we're going to see our Republicans here. They're strong. They're not going to let the left media lies sway them. But at the same time, they're sharp. They're asking good questions and making sure the constitutional provisions are in there. The bounty hunter program has been so misunderstood. People think that means there's a bounty out there and that bounty hunters can just show up and demand papers and kick in doors. That's incorrect. That is illegal now and is constitutionally illegal even under my bill. The only thing bounty hunters do is effect an arrest only after a warrant's issued to the Department of Public Safety and a judge. So that's not what's happening here. It can't happen, even if I wanted it to, which I don't. And that's the left lies that they're trying to fearmonger to get people rallied against it.
One of the other bills I believe that you are proposing backing relates to these bathrooms in some of these schools. And we've seen, I think it was a St. Charles County, one of those areas, one of the high schools has just implemented a unisex bathroom, which understandably parents are very frustrated about. What would your bill specifically do?
Yeah, I mean, it's prohibited. So that we need state leadership on this issue. This left wing crazy ideologies have got to go. We're certainly not seeing at the local level a strong leadership. And so it's time we step up as a state and end this. And so if there's anyone who's uncomfortable for whatever reason or whatever they feel, whatever their gender is, my bill does have an out where there can be a single bathroom for anyone to use. Other than that, it is a male or a female only bathroom.
Yeah, I love that. Have you heard from any school boards on this? Because, you know, I know in Francis Howe, for example, the board was a little hesitant to pass a law rule on the bathrooms out of fear that they might be individually sued. If you guys can get this passed at a statewide level, it relieves them of that fear.
That's right. That's right. And our school boards, they're beholden. I mean, they're very scared of the loud left. And that's another change I propose filing to shift the local elections to either an August or November ballot to make sure that all of our voices are heard in every district.
I love that. I do. You know, on the issue of taxes, I know Governor Kehoe, I think, was in town yesterday here in St. Louis. He seems to be giving full-throated support to eliminating the state income tax. I know you've got a bill also concerning the property tax, don't you?
Yes. The property taxes are always out of control, thanks to what we've seen lately. But yeah, income taxes, we've got to eliminate the income tax. We've got to get competitive with several other states, all of which are growing that have no income tax. We've got to get competitive. And my bill is my income tax cut bill is actually prioritizing. So as we phase into this no income tax, I believe that we should start prioritizing the type of workers that we want to recruit and retain to Missouri. Police are obviously a huge one, fire, a big one. But, you know, laborers, we want hardworking laborers. Teachers are the first to receive no income tax cuts. So that's what my bill seeks to do, is to prioritize those workers we need as we move to a complete phase out of the
income. Wow. Yeah. And where do you see that income? How's that income replaced? Statewide sales tax?
Oh, yeah, I mean, honestly, right now, the problem we have is that we are so inefficient and there's so much waste. It's already there. And okay. I told people this. I audited the Department of Revenue. I found 42% waste. 42%. Now scale 42% savings across a $50 billion budget. The money's there. We have it. We can cut taxes and still have money left over to spend on the programs we want.
Wow. Do you imagine this getting done in some form this session?
Yeah. I mean, when you've got a governor like Mike Kehoe, I mean, he is special. Not only is he smooth and likable, but he's so good at building relationships. He's been there a long time. He's the kind of guy that can just rally support. I see him getting a lot more done much sooner than we've really ever seen. It's exciting. The sentiment in the Senate is exciting. And when you've got a guy like Mike Kehoe at the head of it, pushing these types of initiatives, they're going to go. They could go this year. And if not, I could see it next year. They're going to go much faster than I think anyone else could push.
Well, that's good news. Senator Gregory, we appreciate your time, sir. Thanks.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Senator David Gregory there from District 15, Senate District 15. Hey, I'll be the first to admit nothing would make me happier, right? Because I said all along, as much as I liked Mike Parson, and I did, in as a person, he's just a great guy. But he wasn't proactive going over there to the Senate and knocking on doors and trying to whip up support for things he supported. And that's what I wanted in a governor, somebody more like a Ron DeSantis. So if David is correct, maybe Mike Kehoe will show us a little bit of that here.
I have to admit, I don't think I was as excited when Kehoe was elected. I wanted Bill Igel. I felt like he was the disruptor that we needed in Jefferson City. But, you know, I do believe David Gregory is a true conservative. So it's actually encouraging to hear from someone like him, you know, who's speaking very highly of Kehoe and feels confident that he will be the person who will help get some of these across the finish line. And I hope that that's the sentiment that, that people there in Jeff City, the lawmakers, are feeling, both on the House and the Senate side.
If there's 40% waste down there, then we can also get rid of the personal property tax while we're at it. And when I say that, I hear the local muni boards starting to have a little bit of a seizure, but then we can absolutely do it. If there's a will, there's a way. Let's hope Governor Kehoe and the legislature can get that done. All right, quick break here. We're back in just a minute. A couple things I want to remind you of today is, of course, Rise and Shine at Hardee's. You can go out and buy a biscuit and help the folks at Heat Up St. Louis. So if you're driving by your neighborhood Hardee's or there's one on your way to work, get a sandwich for a buck, and then the money goes for a great cause there. We'd like to help them out however we can. Also, help us out and help the first responders. Go to the website, 971talk.com. Go there under contests, and you can nominate your favorite first responder. Maybe somebody you've encountered who you know does a great job and they bust their rear end every day. Police officers, firefighters, EMS, dispatchers, and we're going to pick a winner each month, and Grillmaster Tony Stone is going to make the food, and Mark Cox is going to deliver it to the department. So you nominate the first responder, and their entire squad gets to eat because of that nomination. It's really easy. Go nominate them. We're getting some great nominations, and then we will select a winner and deliver the food. We're going to do it once a month, every day this year. So get those nominations in, please.
Yeah, this is cool. And who does not like Grillmaster Tony?
Oh, so good.
His food is so good.
And it's so much better than White Castle. But I did appreciate the White Castle sandwich you brought this morning. Thank you for that. Carl, how about you?
I ate the White Castles. And that was the first time I've ever had them store-bought.
Frozen? Yeah.
Much better than I anticipated.
It was. I was afraid maybe the bread would be soggy or something, but it wasn't.
Or just that freezer taste.
Delicious. No, it was good. Thank you for that.
Thanks for the whatever they're called. Little Debbie
Valentine hearts, which in chocolate form are very difficult to find. My wife looked everywhere for them.
Wow.
Wiggins has been looking for them too.
Well, then thank you, Nicole Middleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Nicole.
I like her.
For sure. We've been getting lots of compliments and congratulations into Kim for announcing today that she's going to have another baby. Mm-hmm. And the folks in the Ellisville Police Department sent me a personal message. One of the officers earlier said to tell you congratulations on behalf of the department.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, that means a lot.
You got a comment, too, on the listener line, didn't we, Carl?
We did.
Yeah, hang on. We were talking about maternity leave and how some European countries have handled that through the years.
This is from Deb.
Okay.
Congratulations, Kim. My husband and I went to Germany about 35 years ago, and his relatives told us that the maternity leave was 2 years. We couldn't believe it, but we do recall back then that the taxes were very, very high over there. So anyway, just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, wow. Congratulations. Yeah,
thanks, Deb. And that's nuts. So it sounds like the taxpayers are paying for the maternity leave. Which
of course they do. The health care, whatever is free.
I don't agree with that.
Is not free.
But I would love 2 years. But that's almost long enough where you'd come back to your job and it's like, do I even know how to do my job?
And honestly, it's asking a lot of the employer for you to be gone 24 months from your job. If it's a vital role, they've got to hire somebody to do it.
Right.
So that person only gets hired temporarily until... I don't know.
Right. Who's on board with, you can join us for 2 years, but then you have to find another role.
I support moms getting to spend extra time with their babies. Don't take me the wrong way. But, I mean, there's a reason that 55% of their income goes to taxes in some of those some of those European countries, not all of them.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, it's true. Do we have something we want to play about Elon Musk? Where do we find this?
This is from Freedom Tunes, and it's you have to listen to this.
Okay, people, we've discovered some incredible abuses of the budget. I mean, really, where are you getting off with these insane expenditures? $10 million spent on body positivity for Haitians in captivity, $8 million on glitter bombs for Saudi Arabian imams, and $9 million on chocolate fondue for East Ukrainian Hebrews.
They have just as much a right to chocolate fondue as anyone, you Nazi!
Well, I'm sorry, but it has to be cut.
No! If you cut $10 million from the CFEUH budget, what's next? Cutting our $3 million budget to give free McFlurries to Pakistani furries?
Well, now that you bring it up.
Oh, come on!
Free McFlurries to Pakistani furries.
Well, you know, that wouldn't be possible because the ice cream machine never works at McDonald's.
It's true.
They should give, every time you go to McDonald's and they say the ice cream machine is down, they should give you some sort of a voucher for a free ice cream the next time you go.
Thank you. Particularly if you have a screaming grandchild in the back seat that you promised an ice cream and you whip in there and then the ice cream machine is broken and you're trapped in the drive-thru line.
I agree with that. And if now that I'm pregnant, I'll say, how dare you? Like, I made a special trip now. I need this ice cream.
Well, the point would be to just avoid them and go to Freddy's or somewhere where they're always going to be able to give you an ice cream.
Freddy's ice cream is good.
Oh, it is good.
Mm-hmm. Like the chopped up candy.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because McDonald's, it's like Culver's, you have too. Some, Culver's, but it's like all job. In the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, Culver's is good, too.
Culver's is
They'll
one of those.
They have them at Dairy Queen, too.
Yeah. Way to go, guys. Now I really want ice cream.
Because why, Kim? You're pregnant.
And I've been wanting root beer and...
But you'd have to eat it in the morning, right?
Yeah, I get so sick. I have opposite of morning sickness. I don't feel great. Oh. I'm sick in the morning before work and sometimes commercial breaks, but I'm really bad at... As the day goes on, I get worse and worse. So this whole notion of morning sickness, not a thing. All day sickness, worse at night for me.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank
We're thrilled
you.
For you and Michael. And can't wait to meet the little one one of these days.
Yeah, he'll be a big brother.
Yeah, exactly. Big change coming in his world, for sure. All right, coming up, Brian Kilmeade will be along in a few minutes. And, of course, Annie and Mark in, I don't know. I think Annie may be off today, right?
Annie's off today.
All right, well, anyway, we're live all day long. And we'll see you back here on Tuesday morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.